And it happens. We go through life, there are seasons. So you wouldn't be surprised or bewildered if you go out of the if you go out at night today and you see the moon and you wonder, what is that doing there? Every day the moon comes up, it goes down, and the sun comes up and down. There is just a rotation that is happening. There is an existence that we are a part of. Our goal is to be in those seasons, is to recognize that our lives are just for a season. But what we want to be is people who maximize the opportunities that are presented to us in that season. Whatever that space is, whatever that time is, it is about ensuring that we maximize all our opportunities to be people that add value to other people. So if you decide that you want God to use you, all you have to say is that I want to add value to other people. And that's how you do it. Just by making the conscious decision every day is that, Lord, I'm going to work. I just want to add value. Wherever you go, whoever you interact with, it's always about adding value. Amen? And so last week we launched what our focus for 2022 was going to be. And in case you missed it, the focus was discipleship and evangelism. And so we spoke about connect groups, is that we recognize the importance of being connected and being in community with one another. And so we're encouraging all of us to be in a connect group. Because what happens is that we showed an example of a bunch of bananas. And we said, what happens if one of those bananas is out of the bunch? It gets eaten. And so don't be surprised if you never get the phone call in church and then start saying, but how come they never call me? If you're not connected, you're on your own. I mean, look, it's just as plain and simple, eh? If you're not connected, so don't be surprised. So all I'm saying and all I'm encouraging us is that because we want to do things in community, let's make the conscious effort. And I understand, of course, that because of work schedules and all of that, it may not be practical. However, just make a decision. Make a decision to say, you know what, this is what I'm going to do, and you'll find the time to do it. All right. So, you said connect groups is one of them. We're going to encounter God through our worship experience. And this team is doing such an amazing job, you know, of leading us into the presence of God. And so please give a round of applause once more. And it's because, you know, the reason why we keep saying clap is they probably don't like all the time. Each time we say they don't like it. But some of them have taken a risk to be able to do this, to stand. We have a young man, you know, probably 11 years old, you know, that decided to play the drums. And so you can imagine how fearful it was for him to stand up in front of all of you, and he's playing the drums, and he's very conscious about, ooh, what if I miss a beat? And so we honor that. We honor these young people of taking the risk. And all the girls that are singing, it's you know, everybody's looking at you. It's one thing to be sitting there and looking up. It's another to be up here looking down because you're wondering, I wonder what people are thinking about me. So we really thank them, and we thank our, you know, all our team, Catherine, Bremer, Damien. Damien is new to our church, but he's on the band. And so we're very, and of course, to Caroline. You guys should have been here in the morning. You should be here in the morning when she's encouraging the young girls to say, come on, you need to smile. You know, you need to, you know, sing well. So that brings great pleasure to my heart. And so we're going to have great worship experiences. And then we're going to, together as a community of believers, we're going to go deep in the Word. And one of the ways we're going to do that this year is that we're going to do devotionals together. And one thing I'm encouraging us is, if you could cue that devotional, we're going to start with this one. It's called Restart Your Heart. It's a 5-day devotional by Jensen Franklin. Now, this is good because if you thought that you were good, and everything was all right, if you've got problems or issues with people, this is a good starting point. Because, you know, one of the key things is that if you don't have a healed heart, it is going to be a block for the things that God wants to do with your life. And so it stops the flow of God coming into your life, or the flow of God from actually flowing, because you've got some stuff that you're just dealing with. And so that is important, to restart your heart. And also, if you don't have a healed heart, you won't see the blind spots in your life. So this is what we're doing together. If, for example, you can do this in your connect groups, I know it's 5 days. You can't do it within 5 days. You can do it within 5 weeks, or you can do it within the term. So for this term of school, this is the devotional we're going to be focusing on, and it's really going to free you to deal with some issues that may be going on in your life, and just allow God to come and do a work in you and just to set you free. Amen. Then we have our Easter service, which we're going to be asking everybody to invite your friends. People naturally come to church during that time. And so what we're doing is that we're going to do some things over our Easter service. We have a great speaker, and we're just going to believe that people would come into relationship with the Lord. Because remember, it's seasons, it's time, that we don't know how long we're going to be on this earth for. And I think there's a scripture that says, Lord, give me an appreciation of the fragility of life so I can count my days and know that my timer is ticking for all of us. And I don't know why I'm a bit morbid this morning, you know, talking about death, but forgive me. And then, of course, we're going to do things consistently. There's going to be consistency in the sense that if you come every week, there's going to be worship. If you come every week, and it might look different. 1 week, we have a full band. The next week, we might not have a full band. The week after that, we might be singing through a music video, YouTube video. But that's okay, because that's still worship. But it's going to be consistent. We will do this every week. Kids Zone is going to operate every week. So if you come and your friends come with their children, we're not just going to say, oh, sorry, this week there's no Kids Zone. No, we're going to be consistent. Because that's important. If people come in, they want some consistency. Because you wouldn't go to a restaurant where one day the food is great, the next day you go, not good. Because you want the consistency in the taste of the food. And then it's going to be sustainable, because we want people to also have a life. Yes, to be in church every day, or not every day, but every Sunday. But also to understand that we are doing, this is a marathon. It's not a sprint, so we want to pace ourselves. So people can have the scheduled breaks if they need them. But of course, all of this we do through grace. God is going to empower us, that you might find somebody might be here every week. There's a bit of grace that's happening there. But all we are saying is that sustainability. We don't want people to burn out. One of my road annoyances is when talk about what really annoys me on the road. If you can just cue that picture of David. There we go. That's me, and that's Unami on the 19th of February, 2004. That's Unami's grandmother, the one that's not smiling. And that's my grandmother there. And so we got married yesterday, 18 years ago. I came across this picture, excuse me, during the week, and I'm looking kind of slim there. But both those ladies are late. They're no longer here, you know, and so I think it gives it a bit more significance, that picture. The funny thing is that I found it just lying on the kitchen bench. And I'm like, what's going on? You know what? But it's a very special photo, so... 19 years ago, 18, I'm jumping ahead, so I'm going to be alive next year. It's I can't lie and say that it's all been roses. Relationships are tough, but you got to work them. You have to work them. And I think that, I remember, if I can say this, there's a, I don't know what had happened. I think Unami, right at the start, I had said something, and she must have got ticked off, and she was, I don't know who was having a bowl of cereal with yogurt, or she was, and then she just took that bowl of cereal and just whoom. Ah, oh, okay. So anyway, I must have said something, but I just walked away. I held it together, and I walked away. But in all of that, I think I don't think anybody else could have been able to live with me. In the sense that it would have been very tough for them. And so I'm very grateful to Unami for for being with me for the last 18 years. And I hope that over the next however many long is that I will continue to serve you. And that's this yesterday in the morning as I got up, I thought, oh, you know, no present. I don't have anything. I haven't bought her anything. But yet, I said yet. And so I decided to put a video together, which I sent to her, and sort of and said that up until I breathe no more, which would be a very painful day for many, but I just want to serve. I just felt that in my heart yesterday that I hope I can serve you, and hopefully I'll serve you. I can only serve you to the best of my ability. And in my way, you know, and so that's the key thing, and I thank you for that. And so I thank the Lord as well for just being good to us. So anyway, let's rock and roll. So one of my road annoyances is, you know, when you're standing at a traffic stop and the light, and you're turning, and there's, you know, it gives you, there's, you can't turn unless the light actually turns green. And so you're standing, you're maybe two cars down, or maybe you're the second car, and you see that the light has turned green, but the person in front of you does not see that the light is green. And so I'm forever complaining when I see the traffic turn, the light goes green, and only three cars make it across. I'm saying, surely more of us should be able to get across. And so what do you do? What do I do? I don't know about you, but my first reaction is to press the horn. Beep! You know, keep it moving. But there are possibly reasons the person is not moving. Most of the times that they're focusing on something else, and they forgot to keep looking at the lights. So they don't move. And so have you ever been in a position where at an intersection and you just can't move? You don't know which way to go, whether to the right or to the left. You can't focus to give you, you're not focusing, and you don't know, should I go right, should I go left? In the book of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 11, this passage comes at a time in the life of Isaiah when the king has died and the people are wondering what's next. What direction are we going to go? And so understand that Uzziah was, this is the king, was 16 years old when he began to rule after his father died. And so this young king, as he was brought up, he sought God, and during the days of Zechariah the priest, and who taught him to fear God. And as long as the king sought the guidance from God, from the Lord, God gave him success, and he was very rich. He had people, that countries that would pay taxes to him. His fame spread far and wide, and the Lord gave him marvelous help. And he became such a powerful, powerful man. But Uzziah the king became very proud which led to his downfall. He did something only reserved for the priests, and the Lord struck him with leprosy, and he died in isolation in a separate house, for he was excluded from the temple of the Lord. That comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 26. That's just the story of King Uzziah. But in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 11, it says that in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundation, to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips and live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King and the Lord of heaven's armies." Then one of the seraphim, the angels, flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Yes, go and say to the people, listen carefully but do not understand. Watch closely but learn nothing. Harden the hearts of these people. Plug their ears and shut their eyes. That way they will not see with their ears, nor hear with their ears. They will not see with their eyes, nor hear with their ears, nor understand with their hearts, and turn to me for healing." Then I said, "Lord, how long will this go on?" And he replied, "Until the towers are empty, their houses are deserted, and the whole country is a wasteland." This guy has an amazing experience with the Lord. It's coming at a time when a king was ruling, when everything was going well. There seemed to be lots of certainty with Uzziah. Things were everything. The country had lots of money. You know, it had lots of provision. They had a strong army. They could just go into any country and take it over. And I liken it to the times that we're living, where sometimes in our lives, there's times where, or seasons where, everything is going swimmingly. It is just like, wow, I am so happy to be alive. And things are going great. And then all of a sudden, something just happens. You go and you visit somebody. You go visit your doctor. Oops, something is going on. You open your bank account. What you thought you had, you no longer had. You get something in the bill that we need you to pay X amount of dollars in X amount of days, or you're finished. Now, maybe they don't say it as callously as that, but all of a sudden, this is what your life is like. And so he has this encounter with the Lord, and the first thing that he says with this encounter, if we can move on to the encounter slide, is, "Woe is me." He sees this amazing thing. And what he does is that this encounter with the Lord, he recognized that they say that, if you see the Lord, you die. You couldn't die. A human could not see God and live. And so here he has this encounter. And the first thing he said is that, "Woe is me." And he confessed his own sin before he announced any other woes on others. And we're talking here, this in 2022, about going, about ensuring that we take the things that the Lord has put on our hearts and begin to go into our workplaces, into our families, into wherever we go, and begin to influence. And so the key thing is, it's always the encounter comes first. Encountering Christ. Now that for us could be, we're spending our time with the Lord, getting deep in the Word. However you do it, there is an encounter that happens where you begin to meet with the Lord. And that is the first step. If you are going to be somebody who goes and does the very things that God is asking you to do, it has to be through an encounter with Him. And remember that Isaiah was, he would have been confused, thinking, what is the direction the country is going through? Where are we going? Because things seem very bleak. And when the outlook is bleak, you have to try the uplook. So when things around you are all looking, are all going to custard, and the things are just falling apart, we have to look to the Lord. And isn't it interesting? He said that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. And basically telling us that even though things are going badly in your life or not in the way that you would expect it, God is still in control. And that is something that we should take comfort from, to understand that the Lord would not have been panicking like the people of Judah in that time, thinking our king is dead, his son is taking over, what direction is the country going to go? And just for us, if we look at the context and the environment that we're living in, there's so many things happening. In December, borders open 5 February. Later on, borders are not opening 5 February. On Friday, the borders are opening on the 3rd of March. Now, we don't know whether they're going to open on the 3rd of March, but we take his word for it. But, but the key thing is that in all of this, the context we're living in is a context of it's unknown, it's uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen, because life as we know it was turned upside down. All the things that we had trust in were taken away. People that are running businesses, that are hospitality, you know, that are people-focused, people-facing businesses, are struggling because life has been turned upside down. So we're living in a context of a lot of uncertainty, to vax or not to vax. That's the uncertainty we're living in. Then they're going to be saying soon, those who are unvaxxed, this is what is going to happen to you. So there's a lot of anxiety and confusion out there. But one thing I would suggest very kindly is that as people who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, is that God is still on the throne. Regardless of what happens, God is still on the throne. And that's what matters. And the key thing in this scripture is that Isaiah did not say, I heard the Lord was on the throne. He said, I saw the Lord on the throne. And the question is, you have to start seeing differently. You have to see, no matter what your situation is, see that the Lord is on the throne. Amen? And then came he had the encounter. And then he had that, what we would say, that he gave his life. He saw his sin. And then the angel came and touched his lips with some coal. I don't know how he never got burnt. But anyway, that's what the story says. So then the question was asked, whom should I send? What did he say? He says, then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? So the encounter comes first. Then the next thing after the encounter is the commissioning. You encounter him, and then the commissioning, where he says, so who shall I send? I need to send somebody somewhere to some people, wherever they are. Who will go for us? And recognize that he was sent to a specific people. And he was sent to speak specific words. So Isaiah's eyes were open to the need that was prevalent, because the people were away from the Lord. And how do we know this? Because he says that, I come from a people of, I'm of filthy lips, and I come from a people of filthy lips, so there's something wrong with us. And so God, please come and help us. So his eyes were open to the need that was prevalent, but he was also attuned to the fact that the Lord wanted a servant to minister to the people. And so you might ask, well, how am I going to go? How am I going to go and make disciples of all nations? The key thing is that you wait. And because God is going to speak, and when he speaks, then you take the steps. Recall that Moses spent all his time tending the sheep of Jethro, his father-in-law, but then there came an encounter. And what happened after the encounter? The commissioning. So he encountered the Lord first, take off your sandals, you're on holy ground. And then from there, it was, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. So this is the way of the Lord. So you have to be attuned that God wants us to minister. He wants a minister, he wants to send somebody to go and minister to the people. How that is going to work out for you is going to be different to how it works out for me. I know that this week we're speaking on this, somebody called me and said, I need some help, I'm in trouble. Now, I didn't sort of like say, God bless you, kiss on the cheek. You know, I now had to be engaged. I now had to spend some time with that individual trying to help them work through their issues. That's how it happened for me. It was a text message. In fact, it was phone calls at 3 a.m. I saw many of them. I didn't answer them. I mean, I only saw them later on, and then I saw another one at around 7. I didn't sort of like say, oh, I'm spending time with the Lord. Can't. I saw the fact that the person had tried to call me so many times that this must have been an urgent thing. So how it works for me is not how it's going to work for you. So let's not use the way it worked for me as a blueprint for your life. But one thing for certain is that he is going to speak to you. And it's about you listening to what he has to say. And so never underestimate what God can do with one willing worker. Isaiah saw the need and he said, here I am, send me. He didn't ask. He didn't think about his giftings. He didn't think about, I don't have this or that. He just said, here I am, send me. The Lord's pattern is always to start with one. Abraham, come, let me show you a place that you can go. Then we have Moses. Always it starts with the one person. It always starts with one person. And like we say, that all of us are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so countries usually send one person, an ambassador, to represent the interests of a million people. So Abraham, Joseph, Jonah, Paul, and of course we cannot forget yourself, that it starts with one. So never underestimate what God can do with one willing worker. And so the key to seeing God move in your life is not to question your giftings and capability and to have self-image and self-consciousness issues that cause you to thwart the flow of God. Moses had an issue and said, oh Lord, surely. And he started to disqualify himself why he could not go as the Lord had asked him. And that's the thing, we can easily disqualify ourselves. Oh, I'm just a young person. I can't go. I can't do this. You know, Lord, how these kids at school, if I say to them that I'm a Christian, they'll start to tease me and all that. And yes, that's all true. Or it might be in the workplace that, oh, what will they say if I say, can I pray for you? So we always start to give ourselves reasons why and to disqualify why God cannot move. But like Isaiah, we have to see the need and say, here I am, send me. And so God is looking for a man, woman, boy, and girl that are available, and he will equip you. And so the best ability to God is availability. The best ability is availability. And I just want to read this as we're starting to come to a close, if I can have my team back up. James Allen, in the book, As a Man Thinketh, says, and this is the opening, probably 11 lines of this chapter. It's a very small book. It says, this little volume, the result of meditation and experience, is not intended as an exhaustive treatise on the much written upon subject of the power of thought. It is suggestive rather than explanatory. Its object being to stimulate men and women to the discovery and perception of the truth that they themselves are makers of themselves by virtue of the thoughts which they choose and encourage. That mind is the master weaver both of the inner garment of character and the outer garment of circumstance, and that as they may have hitherto woven in ignorance and pain, they may now weave in enlightenment and happiness. And all this thing is saying is that if I choose to wallow in my self-image and self-consciousness issues, where I will not make a move when the Lord is saying go and do something, well, then nothing is going to happen. That's all it's saying. So we are makers of ourselves by virtue of the thoughts which we choose. And I want to say that if the Lord whispers something to you over somebody, all you can do is to go to that person and say, and be scared. And this is why I love connect groups, because you can start this off in the connect group. You know, sister or whatever, I feel the Lord saying, you're great, or you're beautiful, or something encouraging. Now, even if you might get it wrong, you are encouraging them. And that's an important thing, is that as you speak to, it's always coming from the place of encouragement. And so the more, and so remember he said, Lord, the question came up again. How long would this go on? Because the Lord was saying these people will not see, they will not see with their eyes or hear with their ears. And he says, for how long will this happen? And he says, until, and then he began to disclose what the until part was. And so the more that people resist God's truth, the less able they are to receive God's truth. And so he was being sent to a people that may not hear him. But the key thing is to proclaim the truth no matter how people respond. And so the test of your ministry and of your life is not outward success, but it's about faithfulness to the Lord. So it's not going to be those things that, oh yeah, you know, I was able to do this and that, but were you faithful to the Lord in the things that he has asked you to do? And I know how you can outwork this in your life. As you go into your workplace, as you go back home, is asking that question, that Lord, speak to me. And God is going to begin, I honestly believe this, is going to begin to, as we begin to ask for these things, God is going to create opportunities and moments that we can begin to impact people. If you look at the life of Daniel and his friends, they didn't go around waving their hands and say, I'm a Christian, I'm this and that. It came out in their conduct, how virtuous they were, how they were people of integrity. And that's how it's done. As you outwork it, it's through your normal job, just being a person of integrity, a person that people can count on. Then they can say, ah, these are the Christians. We know because of their conduct. And God will whisper. God will whisper things in your life that you will begin to want to go out there, and he will say, go and say this to somebody. And it will happen. And if it doesn't happen, that doesn't mean God hasn't spoken. Because there's going to be a testing that happens. And it's going to be scary. But what we have to do is to put ourselves out there in our businesses, as we lead our businesses, that the Lord is going to lead us, he's going to direct us. As we have meetings with people, it's always, Lord, I pray today as I go for my meeting that I be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry, and let my yes be yes and my no be no. So you're just known as a straightforward person. Let's stand. As we outwork the things that the Lord wants us to do in your life, because it starts with you, let's never underestimate what God can do with the life that is yielded to him. Father, I thank you this morning, Lord God, just for your people. Lord, that as we go out, Father, knowing that we are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are the ones that have been given authority. And because you said all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Lord God, I just pray that you would give us a heart of courage. Lord God, that you would give us boldness, Lord God. in the season and the time that we're living in, Father. We ask for boldness to be able to stand, to be able to go when you say go. And Lord, we make ourselves available in our everyday lives, that whatever it is that you want to do with us, Lord God, we yield our hearts to you. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that this is the year of discipleship. This is the year of evangelism. This is the year of influence. The year, Lord God, that we as your people are going to step out and we're going to go in a direction, Father, of just believing in you, of bringing the kingdom, bringing the kingdom and its principles into all areas that we go into. Father, this kingdom, Lord God, is so valuable. These kingdom principles, Lord God, as we take them out, Father, they would have impact. That each and every one of us, no matter our age, Lord God, Father, you have placed giftings in our life. And so we thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing. And Lord, I just pray for those moments that you would whisper to us, that this is the year that we would hear, Lord God, of the God whisper, that as you whisper into the lives of men and women, Lord God, you will begin to change lives. And Father, I prophesy that in Jesus' mighty name, that as we hear what you say, you will change and affect people's lives through our obedience. And so, Father, I give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, amen.